Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
It is all about the Federal Reserve as we await remarks from Jerome Powell.
Meanwhile, President Trump offers his toughest criticism yet of the Fed chairman.
And Steven Mnuchin explores ways to tighten policy without angering the president.
Republicans have another Senate victory after a runoff election in Mississippi. Plus, President Trump is said to feel no urgency to choose a new attorney general. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. The Knicks' three-game winning streak came to an end in Detroit. Easy win for St. John's, who remains undefeated.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial, Inc.
And global stocks are posting modest gains ahead of today's speech from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. 5:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 29 cents to $51.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down about a 0.1%, down a dollar to $12.18.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1284, and the yen at 113.76. And this data check is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, it is all about the Federal Reserve today as we await remarks from Chairman Jerome Powell. In remarks yesterday, Vice Chairman Richard Clarida backed more gradual rate increases. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans echoed that sentiment, while Kansas City Fed Chief Esther George expressed some concerns.
Farm incomes have been quite depressed as commodity prices have fallen. And on top of that, more recently, some of the trade issues with China, which will not help at all.
And Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic noted pockets of distress in his district.
All that Fed speak, yet the yield on 10-year treasuries has barely budged in the past 24 hours. Now we hear from Chairman Powell. Bloomberg's Chris Condon reports.
The text of the speech is expected to be on regulatory matters, but there'll be an audience Q&A, and that audience is really full of some heavy-hitting economists, so there are going to be some good questions. I'm sure he'll try to draw him out on the path of policy.
Powell speaks at the Economic Club of New York around noon Wall Street time. We'll bring you his remarks live on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Ahead of that, President Trump is levying even more criticism at Chairman Powell. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Renewing a string of attacks that began not long after he appointed Jerome Powell to lead the central bank, the president told the Washington Post he's not even a little bit happy with his selection. The Post reports he complained at length about Powell in the interview, saying Fed policies are responsible for recent stock market slides and for a plant closure and layoff announcement this week from General Motors. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. And now Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is looking for ways the Fed might tighten policy without raising rates. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. The idea is to allow the Fed to do its job without getting President Trump angry. Mnuchin privately asked bond dealers and investors whether they want the Fed to tighten by raising rates or through faster cuts in its securities portfolio. Mnuchin posed the question at an October 30th meeting with a Treasury Advisory Committee, whose members include executives from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. Pairing the portfolio puts upward pressure on long-term interest rates by adding to the supply of bonds that investors must absorb, effectively tightening financial conditions. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Meanwhile, the Fed begins publishing a semiannual report on financial stability conditions starting today. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The Fed joins the Bank of England and other central banks in reporting on potential risks to the financial system. The new report will look at asset valuations, household and business borrowing, leverage, and funding risks. Fed policymakers have said recently the financial system is much stronger than before the Great Recession, but caution is still required. In New York, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. The Bank of England also releases its financial stability report today. And as Bloomberg's Paul Gordon tells us, the central bank also weighs in on Brexit.
Brexit has always been a political minefield for the Bank of England. Now we'll get some hard numbers, so we should hope for some clarity when the Bank of England says this is what we think the Brexit withdrawal agreement will have on house prices, on bank capital, and so on and so on.
And that report from the BOE is due out around 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Now, when it comes to the U.S.-China trade dispute, President Trump is optimistic about his upcoming meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. That's according to National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow.
In his view, there's a good possibility that a deal can be made.
And that optimism helped boost stocks in Asia today for the third straight session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 gained 1.3%, but volatility was absent across Chinese assets. The yuan, the least volatile since December. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gained thanks to a rise in tech players like Tencent and Sunny Optical, while the Japanese yen held near a two-week low, boosting the Nikkei 225 by 1% in Tokyo to close at 22,177 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. On the corporate front, Ford Motor is trying to accelerate plans to build luxury cars in China to avoid President Trump's tariffs. Ford had planned to start production of Lincoln models in China late next year. Now it's working to move up that timeline.
Bloomberg News has learned Deutsche Bank is considering a senior management shakeup. Bloomberg's Danny Berger has details.
Deutsche Bank considering replacing senior executives who take care of their relationship with regulators. Deutsche Bank has come under a lot of heat. There's the investor fears that they're being drawn into the money laundering scandal at Danske Bank. So these are very key positions at Deutsche Bank, and ones investors will be watching closely to see who fills them.
And Deutsche Bank is trying to reassure regulators it can improve compliance after several failures to head off misconduct. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a slightly higher open. Straight ahead, we bring you the latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr, find out what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. After a long and rough runoff campaign, Cindy Hyde-Smith has been elected Mississippi's newest senator. The Republicans' campaign was marred by several controversies, including a comment about public hangings. Hyde-Smith thanked President Trump for his support.
Tupelo was unbelievable. The coast was unbelievable. We got to ride together, and I sure appreciated the time that he gave me. Senator Lindsey, Vice President Mike Pence, my guys, they turned out for me. My colleagues have supported me. Right now, Mr. President, thank you so much for all of your help.
Hyde-Smith beat challenger Democrat Mike Espy 53.9% to 46.1%. Espy called his campaign historic.
Do you know that we built the largest grassroots organization our state has ever seen in a generation? Yeah. We did that through a coalition of voters, white and black, who shared our belief that Mississippi's future will be brighter than Mississippi's past.
The win allows Hyde-Smith to complete the final 2 years of retired Senator Thad Cochran's six-year term. President Trump is said to feel no urgency to nominate a new attorney general and is content with acting AG Matthew Whitaker. According to people familiar with his deliberations, no clear frontrunner has emerged. A Kremlin spokesman says Russian President Vladimir Putin expects to still meet with President Trump at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires. President Trump has threatened to cancel the Putin meeting after Russia captured three Ukrainian naval vessels in the Black Sea. Bloomberg's Tony Halpin in Moscow has more on the Ukrainian sailors.
A Russian court on Tuesday ordered Ukrainian sailors to be detained for 2 months after their ships were captured in clashes with border forces. The decision threatens to prolong the crisis over control of the Kerch Strait near Crimea, as European Union governments consider fresh sanctions against Russia in response to Sunday's incident. Ukraine is demanding that Russia return the 23 sailors and three ships that it captured. In Moscow, Tony Halpin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
According to a preliminary report, a malfunctioning sensor at the center of the investigation into the October 29th crash of a Lion Air jetliner into the Java Sea wasn't repaired before the fatal flight, even though it had failed on the plane's previous trip. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Knicks were 4-14 when, surprisingly, they suddenly struck for three consecutive victories. The streak ended last night in Detroit. Knicks shot just 40%, lost the Pistons 115-108. Blake Griffin with 30 points. Rookie Alonzo Trier led the Knicks with 24 off the bench. Tim Hardaway added 19.
I think we missed a lot of easy lands, a lot of easy floaters that we normally make, threes that we normally take, go in. Just wasn't falling today. Yeah, credit them, you know, them pushing the pace and getting to the free throw line and making it a bully-type, physical-type game.
Knicks are in Philadelphia tonight. LeBron James and the Lakers last night lost in Denver by 32. NHL Buffalo beat San Jose. The Sabres have won 10 games in a row. College hoops, St. John's is 6-0. Red Storm, no problem with Maryland Eastern Shore, 85-64. Iona lost by 23 at Ohio University. Fairleigh Dickinson fell by 10 at Providence. Stony Brook went to 6-1, beating Norfolk State. Just a few days ago, Reuben Foster was arrested for domestic violence at the 49ers team hotel in Tampa. The Niners promptly released the linebacker they had taken in the first round of last year's draft. It was not the first time he had faced an accusation of domestic violence, so it surprised many that the Washington Redskins yesterday claimed Foster off waivers, although the NFL quickly swooped in and placed him on the commissioner's exempt list, which allows him to get paid but prevents Foster from being on the field. College football playoff rankings start again with the three undefeated teams, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. With Michigan's loss, Georgia moves up to fourth, but to make the playoffs, Georgia will have to upset Alabama on Saturday. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. In other sports news, Major League Baseball's named its first official gambling partner, MGM Resorts International. Deal similar to ones the casino company inked with the NBA and NHL. It gives MGM the right to use baseball's logo and trademarks in states that have legalized sports gambling. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are edging higher following gains in Asia, and U.S. futures are pointing to a firmer open as investors seek to sustain the recent equity rebound before a speech by the chair of the Federal Reserve. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 38 cents to $51.94 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 60 cents to $12.19.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1289. The yen, 113.74. Today we are watching for a report on third quarter GDP, as well as wholesale inventories out at 8:30 Wall Street time. New home sales are out at 10. And Tiffany and J.M. Smucker are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Republican U.S. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith is returning to Washington. Hyde-Smith won her Senate runoff against Democrat Mike Espy in Mississippi, 53.9% to 46.1%. She returns to serve out the remaining 2 years of a seat left empty by Thad Cochran's retirement. The runoff was marked by controversy after she praised a supporter. She said, "If he invited me to a public hanging, I'd be on the front row." According to a report from the UN on climate change, if something isn't done in the near future to significantly cut greenhouse gas emissions, the world will face a worst-case scenario by the end of the century. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Stephen Gallo. He's the head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets. Stephen, I'm sure you're waiting like the rest of us are for Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's comments coming up later today. Are you expecting any more clarity from the chairman after all the signals we've gotten from some of the regional Fed presidents?
I would say yes, you're absolutely right. We're in a holding pattern. That is the FX space, broader markets, waiting for this speech later today by Jerome Powell. I think it's an important one for markets. It's an important one for the Fed, more so than normal. I mean, every Fed chair speech is should be important, especially when the Fed chair is commenting on the economic outlook. But in this case, markets are waiting for clues, and Powell has the opportunity to show markets whether this Fed is the same Fed that prevailed under Yellen and Bernanke, that is, blink very quickly at the first sight of financial market tension and unease, or is this a different Fed, responding to different things, looking at different things, maybe more aligned with the America First narrative that's coming out of the Trump White House than was the case before. I suspect we're probably going to get something down the middle of those two themes. And so the buzzword now in FX is pause. You know, will the Fed pause or when will the Fed pause? And I guess Powell has three options. He can either say the Fed will pause, the Fed won't pause, or the Fed has the option of pausing, depending on data, depending on developments. I suspect you're going to get something akin to the third outcome. So something right down the middle of those two themes that I mentioned a few seconds ago. Mm-hmm. Won't mean much for the broader FX space, I don't think. I think the bigger event for FX, the bigger wild card is going to be the outcome of the U.S.-China trade talks on the sidelines of the G20.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a moment, but wouldn't a shift to the middle be a shift for this Fed? Because a lot of the signals we've gotten from Chairman Powell up to now is that he is along the lines of former Chair Yellen, no?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's had a chance to nail his colors to the wall, so to speak, just yet. Remember, there are things are a lot different now with this administration than they were under the Yellen chair. Under the Yellen chair. The leadership. I mean, he has to probably throw a bone to the recent financial market tensions, but I think it's the degree to which he does that is what markets are going to be looking at. And there, I think you're probably going to get something a bit more neutral and down the middle than dovish, if I may say so.
Let's turn, as you mentioned, to this upcoming meeting between Trump and Xi at the G20. I mean, I got to think that currency markets are waiting with bated breath for this.
Yeah, you know, it's a really big wild card, not only because of what's at stake, but of course because of the size of the economies and the importance of these leaders, Trump and Xi, you know, very important leaders running or leading very big economies as far as the global picture is concerned. I think what's clear is that neither side wants to sustain massive economic damage if it's not necessary, but we mustn't underestimate the willingness of both sides to inflict damage on themselves and each other in order to bolster their hands in the negotiations. I also don't think we should underestimate China's staying power when it comes to waiting things out. You know, Trump has a minimum of 2 years left, but he also may have a maximum of 2 years left. Chinese officials, they could stick around a lot longer. So what does this mean? I think you're going to see a lot of the right noises, but you're going to see very little substance. And I think this is also the case when you consider what the U.S. has asked for in terms of, you know, passing the blame off onto China in these negotiations. A lot of these demands that the U.S. trade representatives have placed on China are numerous and complex. And then, of course, you have the themes that I spoke about a few seconds ago regarding economic damage inflicted and China's staying power in order to wait things out. So what that means to us is that things are probably going to get worse before they get better. What I mean by getting worse, I mean by the impact of the uncertainty on global financial conditions, potentially the impact on the economies in question. I think you're likely to see more fireworks, more bullet shot before things settle down.
A lot to watch in the days ahead. Stephen Gallo, head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets, thanks so much for your insights on this Wednesday morning. Futures contracts pointing to a higher open on Wall Street in just a few hours. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are higher ahead of a speech by Jerome Powell. The Fed chairman will address the Economic Club of New York at noon Wall Street time.
Meanwhile, President Trump is renewing his attacks on Powell, telling the Washington Post he's, quote, not even a little bit happy, end quote, with his choice to head the central bank.
And sources say Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin privately asked bond dealers and investors in October whether they want the Fed to tighten policy by raising rates or through faster cuts in its securities portfolio. That could theoretically let the central bank do its job without angering the president.
This morning, the government issues revised data on third quarter economic growth, with economists anticipating little change from the initial estimate. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
America's economy posted the strongest back-to-back showing in 4 years, 3.5% GDP growth in the third quarter, 4.2% in the second. Consumer spending led the way in the government's initial tally for July, August, and September. Inventories increased, too. Also on today's economic calendar, October new home sales. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Many thank you. The Bank of England publishes its latest analysis on Brexit at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Lucy Meakin has details from our London bureau.
The central bank is expected to put numbers on various exit scenarios, including Theresa May's proposal and a no-deal divorce. The findings could add fuel to an already heated debate and will likely overshadow the release of the financial stability report and bank stress tests when Governor Mark Carney takes questions from the press. In London, Lucy Meakin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Lucy. Sources tell Bloomberg Deutsche Bank is considering a management shakeup over regulatory frustrations. Authorities have expressed dissatisfaction with Deutsche Bank's efforts to prevent financial crime.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn denies that he passed on his personal trading losses to the automaker. It's the first public comments from Ghosn since he was jailed last week on allegations of financial misconduct.
And shares of Salesforce are up more than 8% in early trading. The cloud software company projected sales for the current fiscal year that beat expectations.
Futures this morning are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 59. NASDAQ futures up 19. The 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd, yield 3.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 4 cents to $51.60 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.20 to $12.18.70 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to find out what else is going on around the world. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith has won the runoff Senate election in Mississippi, overcoming a controversy that involved her comment on public hangings. Hyde-Smith told supporters last night that she is humbled by the victory.
The reason we won is because Mississippians know me and they know my heart. And thank you for stepping up, Mississippi.
Hyde Smith's win over Democrat Mike Espy gives the GOP 53 senators. President Trump feels no urgency to nominate a new attorney general and is content with Matthew Whitaker in place as acting head of the Justice Department. That's according to what people familiar with his deliberations told Bloomberg. Trump told the Washington Post that Whitaker is doing an excellent job. The Kremlin says Russian President Vladimir Putin still expects to meet with President Donald Trump at the G20 summit later this week. It comes after President Trump has threatened to cancel his meeting with Putin. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter tells us why.
The issue, of course, is the Russian seizure of the three Ukrainian vessels in the Black Sea. In Washington Post interview, the president says he's waiting for a full report before doing anything. Mr. Trump saying, maybe I won't have the meeting. I don't like that aggression. I don't want that aggression at all. The Trump-Putin meeting would be the first one since the summit in Helsinki in July and comes as well with complications with allegations that his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, met with WikiLeaks' Julian Assange before thousands of emails gathered by Russian spies were released. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The celebration was held for former Secretary of State James Baker. The gala for the 25th anniversary of the Baker Institute for Public Policy was held at Rice University in Houston last night. Baker, who was also President Reagan's chief of staff, says that it's impossible to get much done in today's political climate.
The responsible center in American politics has disappeared.
And finally, it's a sign of the season. Tonight, thousands will witness the lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. The NYPD says heavy security will be in place tonight. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the cold shooting Knicks lost in Detroit 115-108, ending their three-game winning streak, 40% shooting, and three Knicks point guards, Emmanuel Mudiay, Trey Burke, and Frankie Laquina combined to shoot 5-for-26. The one bright spot was rookie Alonzo Trier. He scored 24 points for David Fizdale.
Well, one thing I did with him tonight that I hadn't done a lot of is I played him at the point guard spot, and I really thought he handled that well, and then we actually went on a run late with him at that position, and so I was really happy with the way he competed.
Knicks are in Philadelphia tonight. St. John's is off to its best start since 2009. Red Storm 6-0 after beating Maryland Eastern Shore 85-64. L.J. Figueroa with 25 points and 13 rebounds. For St. John's. College football's regular season ends Saturday, and then we'll find out which four teams are headed for the playoff. The committee's top four right now, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Georgia, with Oklahoma fifth and Ohio State sixth. Bama and Georgia play on Saturday. Robinson Cano spent 9 years with the Yankees, then signed with Seattle. He's halfway through a 10-year, $240 million contract. No secret the Mariners would love to unload him. They reportedly have held talks with both the Yanks and Mets. Word is the Yankee talks involved Jacoby Ellsbury and his big contract going back to Seattle, but that things fizzled when the Yanks wanted cash in return. But the Mets would only make a deal if they also got a top prospect. 49ers just released linebacker Reuben Foster, their top draft pick in 2017. He had just been arrested at the team hotel in Tampa for domestic violence at an earlier suspension for a different accusation. In a surprise, the Redskins claimed Foster off waivers, but the NFL put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which prohibits him from playing. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on shady loans that are bankrupting America's small businesses. Also in this week's issue, the Democratic lawyer who's already preparing for the 2020 election in America's most important battleground. Bill Allison wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
He's been like a key figure in recounts going all the way back to 1996. He was the general counsel of Hillary Clinton's campaign, and he kind of figures in a lot of the different controversies we've had in elections and government over the last 20 years.
Find out who he is, read more about him, and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. An alliance of organized labor, environmental advocates, business groups, and private companies promoting congestion tolls for Manhattan. The Fix Our Transit Coalition is calling for levies on vehicles entering the busiest parts of Manhattan to raise money for the deteriorating subway and transit system. Well, three schools in New Jersey will offer a new model for technical education next year. Burlington City High School, along with schools in New Brunswick and Patterson, will adopt the P-Tech model. It teaches everything from advanced manufacturing to cybersecurity under a program announced yesterday by Governor Phil Murphy. Connecticut Innovations, the state's strategic venture capital arm, will invest $4 million in Upward Labs. The Hartford area program focuses on developing and nurturing early-age companies, developing pilot programs in the smart building and aged care market segment. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing says the 737 MAX is as safe as any plane that has ever flown following release of a preliminary report on last month's deadly Lion Air crash.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Papa John's sinks on a report that Trine Fund Management withdrew its bid for the pizza chain.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a retreat by Prime Minister Theresa May, as she said to give lawmakers more sway over her Brexit deal.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're following quarterly results from Burlington Stores.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting President Trump has threatened to cut off GM's subsidies one day after the automaker said it would close five North American factories.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Total holiday shopping this year may be one for the record books, but you wouldn't know it from the weekend numbers. 9 million fewer Americans shopped either in stores or online over the weekend. They spent less than last year, too. It highlights how more shoppers are beginning their spending early. Stores like Walmart and Best Buy unveiled holiday deals at the start of the month. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are edging higher following gains in Asia, and U.S. stock index futures are pointing to a firmer open. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.83%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 2 cents to $51.58 a barrel. COMEX gold is also little changed, down 70 cents to $12.19.20 an ounce. The euro $1.1289 and the yen 113.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort is denying a report in the Guardian newspaper that he met secretly with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange around March of 2016. Prosecutors are accusing Manafort of repeatedly lying to them, trashing his plea agreement that called for a lighter prison sentence in his conspiracy case. There are more threats against General Motors from President Trump a day after the automaker announced it was changing its business model. President Trump threatened to slash all federal subsidies to GM because of its planned job cuts and plant closings. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. It's our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Jen, let's start with this piece from Leonid Bershidsky. Putin throwing his weight behind the euro. Russia is getting ready to sell euro-denominated bonds for the first time in 5 years, even while it's running a budget surplus. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's curious because the country doesn't really need to borrow, but what the whole escapade is involved with is de-dollarization. So Russia has reduced its U.S. Treasury holdings from $96 billion in March to $14 billion in September. As its U.S. assets shrink, its holdings of European debt haven't really moved that much. At the same time, purchases of gold have increased, and the Bank of Russia has been leading the way here, adding a record 92 tons to its reserves in the third quarter.
So what's the Kremlin worried about here?
The fear is that U.S. sanctions may end up freezing a significant portion of the country's international reserves. And Brzezinski says that this concern is entirely justified. And in that circumstances, it makes sense for Russia to have as little to do with the dollar as possible. So, on Putin's orders, a non-public plan to cut Russia's dependence on the greenback was submitted to the cabinet in October. We don't have a lot of details on it, but overall, the aim is to get Russian companies to rethink their currency policies.
Okay, and so as Russia perhaps moves away from the dollar, how does euro-denominated bond issuance figure in?
Well, the issue that we're talking about today is meant to test whether or not there's enough demand, primarily among big Russian investors worried about sanctions, for euro-denominated securities that might perhaps have a lower yield than Russian-denominated bonds. But if the sale goes well, Russian officials are going to be more secure in hoping that the country can shift its liabilities as well as its assets out of the dollar. This will give Russian companies and its wealthy individuals an opportunity to shield their investments from the U.S. government.
All right, let's take a look at something else affecting the Eurozone, Brexit. Lionel Laurent writes about France and Germany cutting bankers some Brexit slack. While we're still waiting to see whether there's deal or no deal, it seems like France and Germany are making some preparations here.
They are. It looks like there's a draft German law that was proposed last week that would, if Britain leaves the EU without a deal, give the regulator powers to allow UK firms providing cross-border banking and financial services the availability to keep operating in Germany until at least the end of 2020. There's a draft law in France that's somewhat less generous, but it also lays the groundwork for a transition period.
Now, I thought Brussels had a tough line that if the UK left the EU, it was going to have to lose some of the benefits.
That's exactly right. And to be fair, Laurent says these laws look more like an attempt by member states to limit self-harm. But he also points out that they can still be overridden by EU legislation, and they don't offer anything better than what's in May's agreement. They give firms no Europe-wide certainty.
So how does Laurent then explain this move by France and Germany?
Well, it's perfectly understandable. You've got the deadline looming and the stakes rising, so industries are just going to be sorely tempted to wield their lobbying power and ask for mitigating measures to keep things ticking over during the transition period and the exit from the European Union. But the problem is if bankers get too much slack, other industries are not unreasonably going to ask for similar treatment. So for the sake of getting May's deal through, the European Union is going to have to hold the line.
All right. Thanks, as always, for this. Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor, joining us from our London Bureau. Keep in mind that you can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion by heading over to Bloomberg.com/opinion. And for terminal customers, you just type in O-P-I-N. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 527 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The incoming chair of the Democrat-led House Ways and Means Committee, Richard Neal of Massachusetts, says it'll take a new look at the cap on deduction of state and local taxes included in the 2017 tax law. Marriott workers in Hawaii have reached an agreement with their employer to settle a strike that lasted for some 50 days. And a single casino has begun taking sports wagers in Rhode Island after it became legal nearly 6 months ago. But state officials expect betting options to grow soon.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal item we're following today, a rare interview with former Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. He's the guest on this week's edition of the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, where Kennedy weighs in on the state of the High Court after the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh.
The public will very soon see that the court is operating in a collegial, deliberative, thoughtful, inspiring way. Our conferences are being conducted with the greatest degree of collegiality. You'll see that in the opinions that are written. Over time and over a very short time, you will see that the system has worked, and these justices are working very well with their colleagues.
And former Justice Kennedy also discusses his tenure as a Supreme Court swing vote.
I think every one of the justices feels pressure in every case. Yes, it was a little bit hard. A swing vote. I said the swing vote has this symbolism of this swinging back and forth in space. I say the cases swing. I don't. I'm consistent.
Former Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. Catch the full conversation on this week's edition of the David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations, tonight at 9 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Television and on Bloomberg Radio tomorrow at 5 p.m. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks very much. It's 5:55 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg ETF report. It's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Energy prices, particularly crude oil, they've declined over the last several weeks, but natural gas may be a different story, and ETF investors are taking note. Here to tell us more, Eric Bautrunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Tell us about ETFs when it comes to betting on natural gas.
So in our traffic light system, every natural gas ETF is a red light. It's the equivalent of a rated R movie, and these are very dangerous products because
Why?
They track natural gas futures. So you constantly have to roll them, and they do funky things. They corrode your returns. But as trading instruments, if you go in short term, they do the job. UNG is the big one. And, man, it has done nothing for 5 years, and all of a sudden it's up like 30% in the past month. This
short
thing,
term. You say short term because every time they roll, you know that contract, if it's not in the money, that contract's going to expire worthless.
Yeah, it could be 20% a year of roll costs. And you add that up, this thing's down like 70% since it came out. But it will have these pops in between.
Thanks very much. Eric Bautrunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning ahead of today's speech from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Shares of Salesforce are up more than 8.5% in early trading. The cloud software company projected sales for the current fiscal year that beat expectations. And coming up in less than an hour from now, we get third quarter earnings from Tiffany & Company. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The high-end jeweler has been working to transform itself into a more current and innovative brand to appeal to younger customers. Bloomberg Intelligence says those efforts must continue in order for Tiffany's to develop its future customer base, especially with the possibility the stronger dollar will hurt spending by tourists. Analysts think Tiffany will post an adjusted profit of 77 cents a share on revenue topping $1 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 93, NASDAQ futures up 28, the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 3.05%, the yield on the 2-year 2.83%, and the 30-year yield is at 3.31%. The euro is at $1.1292, and the British pound at $1.2793, the yen 113.77. Bitcoin rising this morning, up 6.3% at $4,006. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.